Makoni Maja joins us now. Sure, what's going on in our region, Makoni? We've got all the issues in Zimbabwe. Now it looks like Mozambique is equally dodgy as far as global observers are concerned. We've got a lot to talk about with South Africa, with the BRICS, with Mashatile and so on. But a take on what's going on in Mozambique?
Hi, Alec. Good morning, and thank you for having me. Yeah, it's very concerning to see a little bit of disruption in the SADC region. You'll know that South Africa plays a big role in that area, and our relations with Mozambique are quite strong. They provide South Africa with gas and electricity, and I believe they are also, South Africa is the, I think, accepts the second, they are the second biggest population of immigrants from the region as well. So it is deeply concerning, and also to observe that with all the allegations and the reports of election interference, be it in the form of detentions or arbitrary arrests of journalists, civil society organizations, or even outright assault and violence being perpetuated against civilians who are protesting. That, in light of that, the president issued a statement congratulating the Mozambique government on preliminary release of election results. I think we could definitely make a stronger stance that reflects our democratic values, given that elections are a key to functioning democracies. So yeah, I was hoping to hear a more stronger stance from the president, I'll say.
He's making some rather strange statements. And just going up to the one that's causing unhappiness within the government of national unity, calling Vladimir Putin our ally. And I can see why some people are unhappy about that. Including John Steenhuisen, who let everybody know that this was the ANC's view, not the South African view. But what do young people think about this? And I gave it some thought. Those ANC members who were supported or who trained in the Soviet Union have now got to be in their 60s at the least. And surely young people who do believe in democracy will say, but hang on, Putin's been running that place for the last 25 years. And he's even changed the constitution to make sure that he keeps running it. Isn't amongst young people, do they see it the same way as Cyril Ramaphosa and maybe people of his age do, that Putin's our friend, he's our ally, he helped us 40 years ago, we should be still on his side, despite whatever he might be doing that other people or the international community doesn't like?
I would divide the youth's opinion on this into two. One, I think they are very much a part of our youth who still feel aggrieved by apartheid and by the West's neglect of, you know, the struggle of Black people during that time. And so do agree that Russia is an ally, given that it trained certain MK forces within the ANC. But I would also look very much at the foot traffic of youth immigrants, right, where South African youth emigrate to. And I don't see them going to countries like Russia or China. I mean, sure, there are some here or there taking up teaching opportunities in China. But most people that I see leaving the country as far as the youth is concerned, and this is across the races, is to countries like the UK and the US. And Australia. So I think you could pretty much cut the youth up in two, and as far as where our position lie on aligning ourselves with the East versus the West.
It's a pity as well that the revisionist history has completely forgotten the role of the West in bringing down apartheid. If we hadn't had the death standstill in 1985 after the Rubicon speech, who knows where we might be today. But the West pulled all the credit facilities from South Africa. Interest rates went to 25%. It's almost like, don't really understand finance, but hey, I want to go and see the guys who were shooting. And they didn't shoot too well. And we know that from history. But revision is the way it is. And what about this support of Putin? And could it hurt South Africa, given we should be non-aligned, according to Yaki Celia? He said, we've been played by the Russians and the Chinese for a long time. if we remain non-aligned, it's a very powerful position to be in for the country.
Absolutely, especially in the next coming years where the high growth economies of China and Western economies in the EU as well as the US are forecasted to experience some strain in growth. That means that emerging markets such as South Africa will be primed for investors who are looking to invest. And so it's very important that in our foreign policy, we align ourselves or position ourselves to take advantage of those strain that will be on the Western countries. I do think that as far as the GNU is concerned, that we should expect this, that the ANC is struggling to deal with its break in hegemony. And so they've recently established a dispute resolution mechanism, and I'm sure that that will create opportunity for them to reposition South Africa on the globe and geopolitically, where our stance is not reflected by the ANC as it always has been. And I also think it's kind of understandable that they're struggling with this. This is very much new for them 30 years into democracy. I do think that they are not used to consulting on every single statement they have to issue about the country. But I do think the clearinghouse presents an opportunity for them to handle those ructions. I think there's an element of this that's also a bit performative. I'm sure you would have seen the exchange between Leon Schreiber and Vincent Magwenya, the spokesperson to the president, where Leon Schreiber tweeted using the words friend and ally repeatedly about a new visa regime between us and Ukraine, where we will be giving visa-free entrance to Ukrainian bureaucrats. And as Leon Schreiber celebrated that milestone in his capacity as Minister of Foreign Affairs, Vincent Magwenya quickly entered on scene to clarify that no, this was actually in the works, has been in the works since 2020, in case Schreiber thought of taking this or claiming this as a DA victory. So we're dealing with these GNU partners jostling for power, putting on a performance that says, you know, the code goes, politics is showbiz for ugly people. So I think there is an element of this that's very much putting on a show, especially to the public, virtue signaling to the public about where the different GNU parties stand, as opposed to where the GNU as a collective stand. So I take Mr. Steenhuisen's point that Russia is the ANC's ally, not necessarily an ally of South Africa, especially GNU South Africa.
Neil de Beer made an interesting point when he was talking to Chris on Sunday about the successes of the GNU coming into 2029 likely to be spun as an ANC success rather than anything that the DA could leverage to its account. Is he right to be concerned about that, or indeed anybody who supports the DA concerned that they might be being played by the ANC in the same way as the ANC has been played by Russia, China, according to Jacques Isselier?
So far, there's no outright winner, it seems, between the GNU parties. We recently did a poll as the Institute of Race Relations, and one of the questions we asked is how favorably people view the different parties within the GNU. And the ANC was at a 41%, the DA was around about 22%. What I will say is that Mr. Ramaphosa's favorability has improved. He is back now to taking up majority favorability among all politicians in South Africa. I think his is 50 or just slightly over 50 percentage points. So far, I don't think we're seeing how the GNU reflects on those parties. And I think it's been fairly too early. It's just over 100 days. They just celebrated that milestone recently. So I think we should give it a bit more time before we can proclaim who gets to walk away with the GNU victory.
Okay, Paul Mashatile. He has, over the weekend in the Sunday Times, saying he's ready if they want to make him president. He's quite keen to do that. And yet there's a lot of controversy around him from many different quarters. What's your reading of this?
Yeah, this question has been coming up quite a lot in the media where high-ranking ANC officials are being asked about whether they would throw their hats in the ring. I will say the NEC, the next electoral conference in the in for the ANC, is still some years away. And as I indicated, the president, Ramaphosa, is still the most liked and favored president. So I'm sure they'll be keeping him. Dare I say full term? Kgosietso Ramakgoba was also recently asked on a different podcast whether he would throw his hand up to be president of the organization, and he said absolutely said he would not shy away from raising his hand. And so I think we're seeing a lot of that ANC officials positioning themselves or conditioning us to begin viewing them as potential successors to Mr. Ramaphosa. There were also allegations when there was some tension between Mr. Lesufi and Mr. Secretary General of the ANC Mbalula, where Mbalula was trying to rein in Mr. Lesufi and discipline him for not walking in lockstep with some of the NEC's positions on different things, specifically coalitions with the DA. That was also seen as the two of those leaders, showing their different power within the organization, but also very much conditioning us to start seeing them as potential leaders of the ANC. So I think Mashatile joins that list of candidates in the ANC who are obviously cognizant of the fact that this is Mr. Ramaphosa's last term, and that they want their members and the rest of the branches, as Mr. Mashatile say, to start ruminating on that question of who's to come next.
You didn't mention Ronald Lamola.
Yeah, Ronald doesn't have the sort of position in government that I think gives him the opportunity to present his leadership as much. He's been quite silent actually since the formation of the GNU, but he's definitely a contender. I think he was liked by branches in Limpopo. So I do think a lot of the competition will be coming from Gauteng, because that's where those leaders that I mentioned, be it Mr. Ramakgoba or Mashatile or even Mr. Lesufi, emerge. But I do think in the northern province of Limpopo, Lamola is definitely a force to be reckoned with.
And to close off with, there were by-elections last week. The DA retained 5 seats, and the PA, Gaydon Mackenzie's party, won a seat from the Good Party. Now, the PA hasn't won many seats since the November 2021 election, so to win a ward is quite a big deal there. Yet, not much comment. What's your thinking? Is the PA generally making strides?
There has been criticism of Gayton McKenzie that whilst he's embracing his new role within the GNU, he has neglected his duties in his party with respect to growing that party. And so I think this kind of pours up some cold water on that, because it's good progress for the Patriotic Alliance. Another one to take note of, which is an observation by Marius Roux, one of my colleagues, is that the EFF was a no-show in all of these by-elections, from the ones in the Western Cape to the ones in Mpumalanga, to the one that took place in Tshwane. And so that's very much unlike the EFF, because not even having the faintest of chances in winning a by-election has never stopped them before from running, and yet they were a no-show. So that's definitely indicative of some of the issues or battles within EFF leadership at present. Another one that I would point our audience to is that Cape Exit got 13.41% in one of those by-elections in Cape Town. So there seems to be momentum for the Cape Independence Group within the Western Cape, although not much, but surprisingly, a 13% to me sounds like quite much. But yeah, the DA retained those 5 seats, so it still dominates the Western Cape, and including its increase in vote share in eMalahleni, where it grew by 20 percentage points. I believe in the last by-election they got in the late 60%, and now they got 80%. So they are growing in that region.
Makoni Maja is Campaign Manager at the Institute for Race Relations. Thanks for bringing us up to date, Makoni.